your face, all over the place. We're online 24/7. The hottest internet radio station.
Radio. I'm former Vice President Joe Biden. The Philip D. Blackman Show is going to kick me in the nuts tonight because I suck as a president. Enjoy the show as I try to remember who shit in my pants.
It's Friday! Free your mind! Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Philip D. Blackman, host of the Philip D. Blackman Show. Join me every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday right here at 5 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. But in the meantime, friends, buckle up, get your mind right, and get ready for the fastest hour on radio. Thank you for tuning in. Let's get it started.
Listen up. The views and opinions of this radio show and podcast are prepared and provided by Philip D. Blackman in his personal capacity. The opinions expressed in this show are my own, and they do not reflect the view of this radio station, broadcasting platform, or any organization Philip D. Blackman is a member of. The material and information presented in this broadcast is for general information purposes only. Any and all media presented are the property of their respective owners, and its use does not imply endorsement or opposition to any specific organization, product, or service. Let's get started.
Oh, it's time. Do you feel it coming, ladies and gentlemen? Happy Friday.
It's time!
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Here we go. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Philip D. Blackman Show. I'm your host, Philip Blackman, and welcome to the fastest hour in radio. Ladies and gentlemen, this is episode number 316, the Media Mashup, and we're calling it Classified Hypocrisy. If you haven't figured out what I'm getting at with my little play in words, then hey, it is what it is. We'll get you there. So again, ladies and gentlemen, you know, here's the thing. There's almost no way to keep up with all the news that is presented in the television and social media that really truly is designed to create this political, to create this racial, to create, my goodness, religious or any other particular ideology that we may have. They're creating divisions, especially when you're only doing three shows a week. It's really hard to keep up, to pack it all into an hour and some change. But because of that, that instead of doing the normal media mashup that I typically do, I'm doing something just a little bit different. You know, where I cover all the big stories in the news tonight, I'm only going to be able to cover one. And that one story that I'm dedicating is the biggest story that's dominated the news cycle this week. Once again, voters are comparing. Pay attention. Voters are comparing which party is less corrupt. When did that become an argument? That we got to start finding out which party is less corrupt, and we're accepting it. You know, we got the media. We got voters on both sides of the aisle. They're displaying the classified hypocrisy, right? As they're comparing the Biden classified document dump to that of Donald Trump. Now, tonight, I want to get in on the action. I want to, with the same hopes, I want to get in on that action to try to do the same, because by the end, I want everyone to agree that both sides are completely full of shit, and it's ridiculous to compare anyone about who did more wrong. So, ladies and gentlemen, before we get the show started, as always, we're live all over our social media platforms, Facebook, YouTube, LinkedIn, at the Philip D. Blackman Show. Just type it in, or if you're a Twitch or Twitter head, hey, at the PDB Show is how you can find us. Guys, if you want to leave a comment, do so on our social media platforms, or you can call or text the show at any time to the number on my screen. at 409-245-9753. So for all of my listeners across the airwaves, again, that number is going to be 409-245-9753. So again, to all my listeners across the nation, around the globe, guys, thank you so much for joining me for episode number 316, Media Mashup Classified Hypocrisy. So let's get it going. And then look at this. I already got people agreeing. Yeah, both sides do suck, says Laura Harlow. Guys, we have a full show for you. We got a lot of shenanigans to cover and not a lot of time to get it done. So here it is. This is my take, right? Every single president, they probably stash away some type of classified document, or they stash away some type of gift that that they've been given they've been given by another entity. Which the president of the United States, any gift they receive, anything that they do, that while they conduct business as the president of the United States, is supposed to go to the National Archives. So let's be honest: every single president that's ever been president has probably stashed away something they probably shouldn't have. I mean, the chances of any president really being successfully prosecuted for pilfering them, I mean, they're really infinitely small. But nevertheless, here we are. Joe Biden is engaged in that same behavior that he spent, you know, all those months criticizing his predecessor. And perhaps worse, since vice presidents aren't really unable to declassify documents and precedent and transparency, our very democracy demanded that Attorney General Merrick Garland, that he had to. It was a political play. He had to make a move to name a special counsel. Now, did he do so because he had to or because he wanted to? Because I think, I feel like that with this administration, if they jumped out there and said, hey, you know, and they were really quick with naming that special counsel, I really truly believe that was, they had to do that. That way they could say, hey, look, we're doing something about it. But right now, I mean, none of the rationalizations that are offered by the media for Biden's actions over the past few days, they don't work anymore. When the story first broke, outlets stressed that one of the vital distinctions between the two incidents, that being of Donald Trump and Joe Biden, was that the possession, Biden held fewer documents than Donald Trump. When this story first broke, I told Tammy, I said, that's going to be the first thing they run to, that, hey, well, Biden had less documents. You know, Biden aides, we've learned, they've been utterly shocked to discover only a, quote, all we're hearing is a small number of classified documents that were locked in a personal office of the president's think tank, as if the location or the number of documents or the alleged lock, or rather the contents, were the most newsworthy aspect of the story. I mean, soon we learned that the second batch of classified documents was uncovered at an undisclosed location. And Biden aides, again, we're told, began diligently rummaging through the boxes to ensure that they are in complete compliance with the law. Okay. NBC News, they reported that quote, the search was described as exhaustive, with the goal of getting a full accounting of all classified documents that may have inadvertently been packed into boxes when Biden cleared out the vice president's office space in January 17. You know, it's really heartening, I guess, for me to know that the Bidens, they're such diligent, law-abiding folk, right? That makes me feel good. I'm going to be able to sleep good every night knowing that our president is on the up and up, you know, much better than the mean tweets that we were getting before. But yesterday we're told that the classified documents that were found in a serious office setting rather than just lying around in a home. You know, it was an important difference between the two cases. Today, Joe Biden's lawyer says that, again, small number of classified documents is also found locked in his garage and an adjacent room of his Wilmington, Delaware home. Now, don't worry. The president assures us that it was safely stored in his garage next to his Corvette. You know, if we find another small number of documents, if we have a third dump, we might just have ourselves a full cache. But no doubt, right? The journalists, they're super curious to know how those classified documents got into Joe's garage from Jump Street. I mean, the guy had a think tank office at his disposal in Washington, D.C. That's a fact. The initial documents that we saw, that were alleged to have been discovered before the midterms, and yet we're only just now hearing about it just months later. They found this back in November, right before the midterms, and we're just now hearing about it. Why? And in convenient dribs and drabs, mind you, it's nothing. The wow factor, if you're looking beyond the story, is, hey, Joe Biden left office January of 2017. That means he's had these documents for 6 years. 6 years he's had these documents in his possession. And, you know, when we found them, we turned them in. Yeah, but you've had them for 6 years. Where all have they been? Where all have they, who all's had access to them? Who all's seen them? But we'll get to that. But soon after, CBS, their initial story, right, is a four-byline puff piece from CNN, and it reported that the documents found in the think tank, they were related to Ukraine, Iran, and UK. So they weren't just keepsakes and letters and such like like the former president did when he had a what do you say about Kim Jong-un's his letter? It was sweet or something a little cheesy, but that was the difference. But this week, we also learned that there was another soft-pedaled report by the New York Times that Biden, despite his instance that he knew nothing about his son Hunter's foreign entanglements, he'd met with a liaison from Ukraine energy interest Burisma. You remember that that very corrupt entity that Hunter Biden was working $80,000 a month with no energy experience? Right. Now, I want you to recall how the Obama officials, they also raised concerns about the Biden family's business even back then. But is there any single chance that those Ukrainian documents would have been embarrassing to the president? I mean, it seems reasonable question, doesn't it? But what's important now is we're going to be instructed is that Biden immediately contacted the authorities and is fully cooperating. Now, is it possible? I mean, I guess we could say, I mean, is it possible, and I'm just theorizing here, that Joe Biden and his aides are lying? Is that possible? Well, I think if history tells us anything, that's probably a certainty. But for one thing, you know, look, cooperating is very fine, but it's not everything. Donald Trump, the previous administration, they have every right to hire a lawyer and fight the archives over the documents that were seized. But maybe he's got a case. Maybe he doesn't. But perhaps Joe Biden just simply picked an opportune time to cooperate with his own administration to avoid any transparency. I mean, and it's truly far from immediately handing over this material. The president's been in possession of these classified documents for nearly 7 years. So how does the Justice Department know that there weren't more documents that are stashed away somewhere else? How does the Justice Department know that Biden, like Trump, didn't put them in his garage on purpose? Because he says so? I mean, don't get me wrong. It's entertaining as hell watching the comically obvious attempts to mitigate the damage. It's unbelievable. If Biden hadn't done anything wrong, I mean, he's absolutely nothing to fear. Isn't that how it works? I want to explore that, you know, explore what we know and what we don't know in my favorite segment of every show, The Breakdown. All right, so perhaps President Joe Biden, he's facing fierce scrutiny over the allegations that he may have misplaced or he may have mishandled multiple classified documents while he was vice president. You know, with the new and confirmed reports that he kept the papers in a garage of all places, because, you know, I get it. It's in a garage. It's by the Corvette. If the Corvette's safe, then the documents are safe too, right? I mean, the president, this very guy who's been very critical of the former of the previous administration for holding on to classified documents in Mar-a-Lago, he admitted just this past Thursday to storing documents in his home and personal library. Wait a minute. What's the vice president doing? And I want to go ahead and get in front of this now. You know, we hear the narrative from these Trump supporters that, well, the president, he can, and I'm going to talk about it here in a little bit, but the president can declassify everything just by thinking about it. That's not how it works. So what is the vice president doing with classified documentation? What was, you know, same question, what was Hillary Clinton doing with classified information on a private server? I mean, these are things that are, we have a history of this stuff as a country, not as Republicans and Democrats, but as a country. Our politicians are very sloppy. I mean, this really came just a few days after news broke about 10 classified documents were discovered November the 2nd. That's all they're telling us. They found 10 just before the midterms. And these documents were allegedly found at the Penn Biden Center for Diplomacy and Global Engagement. I guess that's where the president, where his think tank is, and that's according to CNN. And some of the documents were marked top secret. Now, the part that really that has me, you know, really questioning what in the world, right? Because if you remember, just before that, we were still going through the media, political pundits. Everyone was talking a whole lot about the danger to democracy that Donald Trump brought in by having these documents stored in Mar-a-Lago. So why would Joe Biden even allow? I think Tammy kind of talked about it, you know, it's suppressing information. If you're supposed to be transparent, why would you not let it come out? Hey, we just found this stuff today on November the 2nd. We've already turned everything in. Yeah, we screwed up, but hey, we're showing you how to do it right. But no. Yeah, we've had it for 7 years, but hey, we just found it, so we're turning it in. Why did that not happen then? Why did they wait till after the midterms? I mean, I think you probably know the answer. They knew that it would disarm Joe Biden's argument and disarm the Democratic argument that, you know, threat to democracy and classified information, you know, they knew. So they waited. But until January? I mean, the recent revelations, they've created a very discomforting controversy for this administration. Pay attention, because they're full of controversy. So yesterday, U.S. Attorney Merrick Garland, he announced that he would have to engage a special counsel to investigate the president's handlings of the documents. Now, I wonder if we're going to get that report about the same time we expect Kamala Harris's report to why migration the root cause, but I digress. It's not going to happen. I mean, the news, it truly has pissed off a lot of conservatives and right-leaning commentators. They've condemned what they say is a relatively muted response by the authorities compared to the FBI's raid on Mar-a-Lago last August, when hundreds of documents were seized. Joe Biden's lawyers are the ones who found this stuff, and Joe Biden's lawyers who turned everything in, whereas in Mar-a-Lago, the lawyers wasn't even allowed in the same building until the search was done. That's going to be important as we talk about some of the new conspiracy theories that are coming out, but on Truth Social, of all things, again, the former president said that, quote, when is the FBI going to raid the many homes of Joe Biden, perhaps even the White House? These documents were definitely not declassified. Well, again, this is a guy who says he can declassify it just by thinking about it. Again, that doesn't work, and I'll tell you why in a bit. But Fox News' Sean Hannity. If you ever tuned into Scott Hannity shows, you'll see it, man. Scott Hannity, the sky is always falling Hannity. He's actually calling for all of Biden's properties to be raided. Yeah, go ahead and grab a chair, because you're going to be waiting a long time. I mean, 5 months after that raid in Florida, in Mar-a-Lago, some commentators are drawing a direct comparison between the two situations, and in some cases, they're putting aside certain unique circumstances of the Mar-a-Lago search. So what I want to do is I want to talk in this section, in this segment about what we know so far. So before we do, Laura Harlow says in the chat, she said, there's talk that the party is now working to take down Biden because they don't want him to run again. You know, that's an interesting theory. And I told you guys the day before the midterms, I said, look, if they have a poor showing come the midterms, they're going to find a way to get rid of Biden. Is it going to be, are they going to say he's not mentally competent? Is a scandal going to happen and Joe Biden's just going to peacefully go away? Is Joe Biden going to get sick and die? I hope that doesn't happen, period. I mean, I don't want to see harm come to anyone. However, the point that I was making even before the midterms was there might be something that's going to give them a reason to get rid of Joe Biden, and we might have just found it. But one of the differences that we've seen between the Mar-a-Lago raid and the relative scarcity of information or the details of the Biden case, with only a small number of classified documents reportedly taken, right? The argument is that fewer than a dozen were said to have been found in Joe Biden's office, and that's according to the great communist news network, CNN. Now, some of that information was labeled top secret. So in the security world, ladies and gentlemen, if you never dealt with top secret classified information, whatever, you know, you have different classifications, and the highest one that we have is top secret sensitive compartmented information, which is SCI. Now, these type of documents, they were also found at Donald Trump's home in Florida. So both are guilty of having these highly sensitive documents. But let's be honest. If you're talking national security and what's classified, truly, let's be honest. We have seen where the media, or we've seen where the FBI, the CIA, these big government entities, look, they can take what an agent ate for lunch and they can classify it if they want to. Remember, you can classify anything you want. All you need is the author. Whoever created that document, that's all that's required is their stamp. To declassify that stamp, you have the original author of that document has to be the one to unclassify it. You can't just think about it. You can't wish it. You can't will it. You have to go through processes regardless of who you are. So the first set of classified documents was discovered November of 2022. This is January of 23. Biden's lawyers, again, they're the ones who found it, and they promptly informed the National Archives and Records, according to them. Now, again, they found it November the 22nd, and they promptly informed the National Archives and Records Administration, making any action by the FBI unnecessary, at least for the time being. But the other question we're not asking is, well, you had these are all vice presidential documents. These aren't presidential. These are vice presidential documents. So these things have been in your possession for 7 years. So you can't say that, well, we did it real quick. No, you didn't. There's nothing quick about it. And what's even more alarming, and I don't guess it is because he's surprised by everything. Joe Biden said that he was surprised by the discovery at his home. But nonetheless, the White House said Monday that the Department of Justice was reviewing, quote, a small number. That's all they're giving us, a small number of documents with classified markings. Why are we not hearing more about it? You know, they tell you that the personal attorneys have cooperated with the archives and Department of Justice in a process to ensure that any Obama-Biden administration records are properly in the possession of the archives. And again, shortly after that, Garland appointed a guy named John Lausch, right? He's a U.S. attorney out in Illinois, and he's one of the few U.S. attorneys that are actually holdovers from the Trump administration. I don't think that's going to matter, but he hired him to conduct a review of what happened. And immediately, Lausch advised Merrick Garland that the special counsel was going to be warranted for this, which followed by this week's appointment of Robert Hur. He's also a U.S. attorney out of Maryland, I believe. The discovery of a second set of documents has been one of those that's just recently came out. It was first reported by NBC. It was later confirmed by the White House to the New York Times. Again, notice all of these are left-leaning places who leak this information. How did this stuff? I mean, again, we know this. We know the Justice Department. We know the federal government. We know that these agencies, they're really keen on leaking information to the press just enough. But why now? The timing, right? The New York Times said that the statement from the White House, it didn't provide details about the documents. Well, of course. When they were found, we don't know who packed them up and whether anyone had access to them before the hand. But following the Thursday press conference yesterday, Joe Biden said that a second batch of papers was locked away and having been discovered in the first batch that was found in November. This is his quote right here. This is what he says. He says, quote, "People know that I take classified documents and classified material seriously. I also said that we're cooperating fully and completely with the Justice Department's review." He went on to say that as part of that process, my lawyers reviewed other places where the documents from my time as vice president were stored, and they finished the review last night. It was exhausting, apparently. But he goes on to say that they discovered a small number of documents with classified markings in storage areas, file cabinets, in my home and my personal library. As was done in the case of the Biden Penn Center, the Department of Justice was immediately notified and the lawyers arranged for the DOJ to take possession of the documents. Okay, well, that is a wonderful statement, and there it is. But here's the issue. A federal inspection of properties that are owned or used by Biden, although apparently they're not in the cards at the moment, right? It could still happen. You know, we'll see if there's going to be a third drop. I got a feeling that there one does exist, but we're not going to hear about it. But given how little we know about the documents reported to the National Archives and the new discovery, again, there's still very little information to assess whether a raid or a search similar to Mar-a-Lago is warranted. Now, what is unique about all of this is, if you'll recall, when we heard what happened in Mar-a-Lago with the documents that the former administration had, they was very quick to put out any and all information they could because they wanted to condemn Donald Trump as fast as they could. Now, look, I'm not a supporter of Donald Trump. I never have been. Well, no, I was at one point. Let me make that clear. I was a supporter of Donald Trump at one point, but like a lot of you, I've gotten tired of him. But for that being what it is, I mean, there is that little confidential hypocrisy between what the DOJ and the FBI is doing as well as what the media is doing. But Robert Fisher, he's a partner with the Nixon Peabody. And this man, he has about 16 years of experience, the best I could find, at federal state prosecution. And I read the report in Newsweek where that the details were being figured on, that the matter is a bad look for those involved. He says right here, quote, "I think we need to have some more information on this, but anytime you have a classified materials handled inappropriately, it is a problem." He goes on to say that, "I can tell you that when I was a U.S. Attorney's Office, I would have had a serious issue if I brought classified materials to my home office, even accidentally." And that's kind of the deal, right? Anyone who works with classified information, if they mishandle it, it is a big deal, unless you're a politician. You know, the swift and significantly voluntary return of these documents to National Archives and their discovery, it marks a crucial difference when compared to the events before the Mar-a-Lago. So what happened? Why is that a difference? Well, because this is part of the whole narrative. We got to tell the whole story if we can. So in January of last year, almost a year ago, the National Archives said that they had received some of the Trump's presidential records, although it had been torn up by the former president. Now, again, you're not supposed to destroy any documents, and just because you tear it up, it does not remove the classification stamp at the top. If you're going to destroy a classified document, it has to be destroyed by the original author. Let's be honest. Let's be transparent about this, because that is the reality. Now, again, real quick, before I forgot to plug myself, guys, episode 316, media mashup, we're talking about conspiracy hypocrisy, or top secret or confidential hypocrisy, 409-245-9753 if you want to join, or keep writing into the chat, guys, and we'll get to your comments here shortly. Now, after that happened in February, the National Archives, they confirmed that they had received 15 boxes of the president's records previously that were located at Mar-a-Lago. There was a further affidavit that disclosed that when the FBI agents reviewed the contents of those 15 boxes, they found 184 documents with classified markings as opposed to Joe Biden's 10. They say that makes a difference, but does it matter if you're going 10 over the speed limit or 100? It doesn't matter. You broke the law, you broke the law, you broke the law. But they want you to know that 67 of those 184 was marked confidential, 92 was marked secret, and 25 was top secret SCI. So the investigation that led to a grand jury subpoena in late May to produce specific documents is what they argued. Now, the agents and senior DOJ officials, they visited Mar-a-Lago back in June, and according to people familiar with the investigation, they collected, again, another small number of documents classified as top secret and was compartmented, which means they were separated. But nonetheless, 2 months after that visit to Mar-a-Lago, the raid was raided by federal agents. And from that point, the FBI took an additional 20 boxes of items, which included further top secret sensitive compartmentalized information, that highest level security clearance. They quickly released photos of documents taken from Mar-a-Lago. They showed papers that were scattered across the floor. The photos were part of a 36-page court filing that was released. Again, it was released by the DOJ in August of 22. When are they going to release Biden's issues? I mean, as of yet, we don't know whether the papers found at the Penn Biden Center's office or Biden's home may have had the same higher level lowers of confidential classification, because they're not telling. And the telling question is why. But the key difference here, according to supporters of Biden, is that rather than facing two searches and a grand jury subpoena and accusations about destroying documents, that Biden's team did the right thing by promptly handing over documents to the National Archives upon their discovery. Now, again, based off what we're seeing, it's how are we to know? Are we to take their word for it? We turn it over right then. It almost writes too well. I mean, the recent news also brought to the forefront about other misconceptions about the Mar-a-Lago investigation. And you'll have a hard time convincing a Trump supporter any different. But one claim is that Donald Trump and his supporters, they made after the Florida raid, was that he had the power, that Donald Trump claimed that he had the power to declassify documents found in his home. He went so far as to say that Donald Trump said, get ready for the stupidest thing you're going to hear today. Donald Trump went so far to say that he could declassify documents just by thinking about them. Yeah, this is a classified document. Close my eyes. I'm going to blink like I dream a genie, and it's no longer classified. That is not how it happens. Now, in the wake of the Biden document story, well, hang on right here. Granny Lisa Kraft, she says, quote, because she says in the chat, she says, because they need a monkey to control. It's fixed. Man, I'm going to tell you something. If there was an award for pointing out the obvious, Granny Lisa, you got it right there. That is it. They need someone to control. And again, for Joe Biden to say that he was surprised that the documents were there, if you told him today was Friday, I think he would give you the same reply. He is surprised. I thought it was Thursday. I mean, again, the Salvation Army, apparently he thinks salvation is a country because he tells him, I remember working with the Secret Service. You know, I mean, you know, to us, Joe Biden is a hot mess, but I digress. In the wake of the Biden document story, these claims have reemerged along with the allegations of bias and how the matters have been handled. The Department of Justice said in a court filing on a previous occasions, whether other information was collected at Mar-a-Lago, they said, quote, the former president never asserted executive privilege over any documents or claimed any of the documents in the boxes containing classified markings had been declassified. Because if a document is declassified, ladies and gentlemen, it has to have a paper that accompanies it signed by the author of that document declassifying it. The president can't do it. The vice president can't do it. No one has the authority to declassify a document unless it's the original author. Now, if the original author is deceased and they're not there, then they make exceptions to that policy, but that's not the way it goes. I mean, if Donald Trump had declassified documents, it would have been under the proper declassification protocol, according to Executive Order 13526. That executive order is the classified national security information. And what it would do, that would specifically require the approval of the official, of the, quote, official who authorized the original classification, the originator's current successor in function, a supervisory official of either the originator or his successor. It's very specific how you can declassify. You can't say, you dim-witted folks out there who are saying, oh, the president, he can declassify anything. He don't need document. No, the president is not a king. He is not a tyrant. He does not have that ability. He is although he's the commander-in-chief, there are checks and balances in play. For those of you people who are arguing that Donald Trump could declassify it on his own, you need to go back and you need to read your Constitution, right? Because they talk about this thing called checks and balances, where no entity, the House, the Senate, or the executive, the judicial, or the legislative branches, neither one can have too much power. So they put in, on purpose, checks and balances. So no one has absolute power in our government, or that is the way we're designed. Now, whether that's what's happening or not, that is a different story. But Donald Trump, at the very least, he needed to have the authority to declassify documents. He needed to have the authority to do so. The fact that he's president does not exist, and the approval of a government agency that originally classified those files, he had to have it. But even then, knowing what we know now about the sensitivity of the contents, doing so could have serious repercussions for our intelligence community. But one underlying question that's bothered me about all of this, about these classified documents found at the Penn Biden Center and elsewhere, really, that the fact that it got lost in the first place. I mean, let alone how potentially top secret classified documents became intermingled with other classified material and were left in a storage cupboard after Biden was vice president. An answer may emerge from the special counsel's investigation, but so far neither Biden nor the White House has offered a full explanation, which is why we do these shows, which is why, look, if you want to knock out conspiracy theories, if you want to be transparent, if you want to start to build trust, then you got to be honest and you got to be consistent. But nevertheless, if we're to rely on this information that's been released in the situation for now, it appears that it's less bad than the one facing Donald Trump, but it's still bad. So it's interesting, again, how we find people saying, well, they broke the law, but it wasn't that bad. You know, they're quantifying, well, did he stab him once or stab him 12 times? You know, it's we're arguing semantics. Now, I did read one from a University of St. Thomas. He's a prosecutor and a law professor. His name is Mark Ulser. And he said that his argument is, as a law professor, he said that what matters is a state of mind. Were the docs taken intentionally, or did they know where they were classified? Getting the docs mixed up, among others, is a common variety of context. So I guess we do have to talk about intent. Yeah, right. So what about the midterms, right? Again, January 2. You know, there's a lot of questions about how long it took for Biden, the document discovered, to become public knowledge, because that does create some questions. But given that the National Archives was notified only a few days before the midterm elections, that's problematic. Some, including the former CIA and NSA analyst Edward Snowden, America's favorite, he speculated that based on the reported timeline that the discovery could have influenced the midterms if the public had known about them. In January 11, he wrote this in a tweet. He says, quote, the real scandal isn't that Biden had classified documents coming out of his socks, because sadly, they've all been doing it. We know that. He goes on to write in his tweet, he says, the scandal is that the DOJ found out about it a week prior to the midterm elections and chose to suppress the story, conferring a partisan advantage. He goes on to write that it's worth noting that the president seems to have absconded with more classified documents than many whistleblowers. For comparison, Reality Winner was sentenced to 5 years for just one document. One document. He was sentenced to 5 years. Meanwhile, Biden, Trump, Clinton, Petraeus, these guys have dozens, hundreds, and there's no jail time. So that is the big point right there. We're talking about the hypocrisy, you know, just because you're a politician, you're immune. Now, whether the story would have made a difference or affected the election results, that's pure speculation. I'm not going to get into that. But it seems like it could. I mean, the DOJ may have been hamstrung by protocol meant to delay the investigation around election season, because whether you know this or not, they have this so-called 60-day rule. It's not written into law, but it's intended to delay any actions that could affect the voting, which is why Hillary Clinton had such a problem with Jim Comey when he came out just days before the election in 2016 to say that he's reopening the investigation to Hillary Clinton, because they said it affected the results of the election. So they have this gentleman's agreement, this handshake agreement, a 60-day rule. We won't talk about it before the election, but once the election happened, why didn't it come out then? Because it was just a week prior after the election happened. Why didn't they go ahead and release it then? You know, the FBI, as they face considerable criticism for the announcements that they made, again, with Hillary Clinton, their private servers. But while there were tight margins in our midterm elections, you know, battleground states like Georgia, Arizona, Colorado, and the voting was for a congressional race and not the presidency, that makes you wonder, you know, just how much it would have affected. But Biden took something of a backseat, if you recall, you know, of his role throughout the campaigns leading up to November's voting. At the time, Joe Biden's approval ratings, if you recall, that's why they thought this big red wave was going to happen, because his ratings were low. And Pew Research polling showed that the top six priorities for voters were the economy, the future of democracy, education, health care, energy, violent crime. These were the issues. The FBI raid in Florida, it was precipitated by months of protracted discussions between legal authorities and the DOJ, which ultimately decided that it'd be just a lot easier to just go get the documents instead of continuing negotiations with the Trump team. Now, Biden could have faced the same outcome had he and his term handled, or rather he and his team had handled the documents situation in a similar manner, but who knows? But the big question for a lot of us is, why did he even have possession of them? I mean, there's a question about why it took so long for Biden's case to become public. That is question number one. His situation appears, at least at this stage, to be less of a legal problem than for him compared to Trump, because the president is protected while he's under office. While he's in office, he cannot be prosecuted for crimes. So that's why it presents less of a legal problem for Biden than it does for Trump. Trump's no longer president, so he gets the full blast. But the central fact is that Joe Biden's classified documents that were found in what appears to be a non-classified environment. It was unsecured. Gene Rossi, he's a former federal prosecutor. I read a quote where he said that the president should be examined with the same scrutiny that Trump was faced. And he said that if you're a purist, the way that Trump handled the documents and what appears allegedly the way Biden has handled the documents, then they didn't handle them in the proper way. And the issue is, for criminal purposes, was what was the level of intent for Trump and what was the level of intent for Biden? It always goes to intent. And I have to say it again. They should follow the facts where they lead without fear or favor. And if we're going to look at President Trump and analyze his situation, which we should, then we should also fairly and justly analyze President Biden's situation. Nobody is above the law. I've argued that I'm not loyal to anyone at all. I'm not loyal to anyone or any entity at all. I prefer to put my loyalty into what's right and what's good in this world. You know, if you keep your loyalty to what's right and what's good instead of people, because look, people don't always do the right thing. If you put your stock in what's right and what's good, you'll always be on the right side of the truth. And I think it's time we stop looking through this through a political lens and instead look at it for what it is. Like most of our society, and this is just my argument, all right? Like most of our society, we're seeing people argue about who did more wrong when instead we should be looking at who simply did wrong. I'm not interested in who did more wrong, and you shouldn't be either. Wrong is wrong. And both entities, anyone who commits wrong, they should be punished to the ability of a fair and unbiased criminal justice system if it is indeed warranted. And according to my service to my country and having access to classified information and briefings, mishandling classified information, that has and always will be a big deal. One infraction could see a service member, someone who's in the armed forces. One single infraction could see a service member that's court-martialed, that's kicked out of the military, they get jail time, they lose their rank, they lose their pay. I mean, as argued when everything happened with Hillary Clinton in 2016, as long as a politician plays loose with national security and classified documents with zero accountability, because they didn't mean to break the law, as we heard with Hillary, then I think it's time we stop prosecuting service members for the same reasons that we're not prosecuting politicians for. Either mishandling classified documents is illegal and we hold everyone to the same standard, or we just stop pretending it's illegal and a threat to national security and just to score political points as they truly go out and aggressively make examples of service members and federal contractors who don't rate the celebrity status of a modern-day politician. And that's the breakdown. Ladies and gentlemen, we've come to the section of our show. It's always a rough one for us, where we take a moment to pause and to reflect and to honor and remember that we have brave men and women across the law enforcement spectrum who are, these guys and gals are out on the streets as we speak, as you're listening to this show, no matter if you're watching it live, you're hearing it on Spotify, or no matter where you are, if you're hearing this show right now, there are law enforcement men and women out there across the spectrum who are out on the streets as we speak. They're protecting our city streets while they're actively being protested against and assaulted because they chose a ministry, their calling, to serve something bigger than themselves. Last year, 2022, we lost 229 law enforcement officials. That's 229 dinner tables, families who are going through their first year without their loved one because their hero answered the call from their city, from their state, from their citizens. Someone please step up. Step into the role of protector of peace. These heroes did that. And we must never forget their sacrifices away from their family, their friends, their personal lives, and their willingness to lay down their lives for a perfect stranger. Guys, we're going to continue to honor our fallen men and women in the law enforcement community. Each and every show until people start highlighting these law enforcement officials' lives and sacrifices like they do the misunderstood criminal. So, guys, we're going to wrap up our coverage in honoring our first police officer who died in 2023, Breckenridge Borough Police Department in Pennsylvania, their police chief, Justin McIntyre, in this segment here, End of Watch.
The Philip D. Blackman Show proudly salutes Chief of Police Justin McIntyre, 46th of the Breckenridge Borough Police Department in Pennsylvania, who was shot and killed on January 2, 2023, during a foot pursuit of a wanted subject. Chief McIntyre served his department for 22 years. Former Breckenridge Police Chief Jamie Bach said in a statement, "He dedicated his life and service to who we are. There are truly few people in this entire world who were more genuine and kind than our chief. This is one of the hardest things I've ever had to do. He was always professional, dedicated and hardworking, sensitive to the residents of Breckenridge, a role model for our children, and a valuable asset to our community. Chief McIntyre is survived by his wife, 4 children, and his parents. On behalf of the Philip D. Blackman Show and a grateful nation, thank you for your service, Chief McIntyre."
Present
Breckenridge Borough Chief of Police Justin McIntyre. End of watch, January 2nd, 2023. Rest in peace, Chief.
The man who killed Chief McIntyre, he's wanted for probation violations involving weapons, and he had fled from the Pennsylvania State Police during a traffic stop the previous night. This is a storyboard for Chief McIntyre. The suspect then fled on foot from Harrison Township following the morning of traffic stop about 2 p.m. He was located near the border of Breckenridge Borough, and he led officers on a foot pursuit for over 2 hours. The suspect then opened fire on officers and again, at two different locations in which Chief McIntyre was killed and another police officer was wounded. After shooting both officers, the man carjacked a vehicle and fled into the city of Pittsburgh, PA. He fled into a wooded area following a vehicle pursuit, and then he opened fire on the officers. He was shot and killed by return fire. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, we're at it again. We're seeing it again where we have these criminals who are killing our law enforcement, our members of the law enforcement community, when they should be in jail. They were released on bail. This guy, just like the one last week, should have been in jail. There's no reason he should have been out there to shoot this police officer, but he did. That is Wokeism 101, ladies and gentlemen. Stick around. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to take a quick news break and we'll another commercial, and we'll be right back with you right after this, guys. Stick around.
About one type of COVID booster. I'm Lisa Lacera, Fox News. The CDC says there could be an increased risk of stroke in people 65 and older who receive the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID booster.
This is the bivalent booster shot that targets not only the original strain of the SARS-CoV-2 virus, but also the Omicron variant. This one surveillance system noticed that cases of ischemic stroke in people 65 and older who received the booster were slightly above baseline levels. However, other safety monitoring systems, both in this country and abroad, have not flagged a similar concern. And CDC officials say it's possible factors completely unrelated to the vaccine may have triggered the alert from the Vaccine Safety Data Link, or VSD as they call it.
Fox's Jonathan Sarri in Atlanta. The CDC says the risk has not been found in the Moderna booster and no change in vaccine practice is recommended. The CDC also coming out with new numbers in respiratory illnesses, saying data suggests holiday gatherings did not spark surges in cases of flu-like illnesses and visits to doctor's offices. They fell for the sixth straight week. It says reports of RSV are also down and COVID hospitalizations are down. With California expected to get even more rain this weekend, state and local officials are telling people to stay alert.
Don't travel if you don't need to. Watch out for the first responders. Don't go around barriers. Don't go into floodwaters.
Director of the California Office of Emergency Services, Nancy Ward, a series of storms since late December have left at least 19 people dead. About 6,000 people are under evacuation orders, and another 20,000 households are without power in the last 18 days. A state plagued by drought has averaged more than 9 inches of rainfall a day. America is listening to Fox News. Information is out of the...
Budweiser presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Footlong Hot Dog Inventor. Budweiser presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Footlong Hot Dog Inventor.
Mr. Footlong Hot Dog Inventor.
When conventional wisdom said no one could make a hot dog longer than 6 inches, you dared to dream.
Dared to dream.
You knew the limitations of a regular-sized hot dog bun, and you ignored them.
Can't stop me now.
You made a 10-inch wiener, and people cheered.
Oh.
But you weren't satisfied. You said, wait, I think I can still give you 2 more inches.
Gotta want it.
So this bud's for you, Mr. Hot Dog Hero, because you gave every single one of us our fondest wish, a bigger wiener.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
All right, guys, welcome back. Episode 316, Media Mashup. Classified Hypocrisy is the conversation, guys. Thank you for joining me. 409-245-9753. If you want to call or if you want to leave a chat, or you can comment into our social media feeds. To all of my affiliates, AOW Radio, IPM Nation, Raw Talk Online, About Face Radio, guys, thank you all wherever you're listening in, wherever you're tuned from. Thank you for tuning in to our show. It is a true honor to have you join me on this Friday afternoon. So one of the things that I've recognized is, you know, we did actually truly gloss over why the liberal media is probably very furious with Joe Biden right now, who's been caught with this classified material being stored at multiple unsecured locations. It was a locked garage, right? It's serious enough to breach the Department of Justice to appoint a special counsel now to review these materials. Joe Biden has got chopped at the knees again regarding holding the moral high ground here. You know, the sanctimoniousness oozing from him in the institutional left after the FBI ransacked Mar-a-Lago last summer, it truly does look ridiculous. You know, I've never seen so many teeth fly after smashing into their own wall over this. And I'll bet it's not the southern border wall stemming from the flow of illegal aliens into the country, but it is what it is. You know, the press, they truly set the stage if you paid attention to what's happening. The press did an amazing job of setting the stage for an aggressive push to force the aging Biden to retire if he'd been walloped in the 22 elections. We heard about it. You heard about his competency building up to the midterms. They were setting the seeds, but they were being very gentle about it. You know, and I don't know how many of you guys actually got to see it. There were a lot of stories about his age, about his mental fitness, and how the White House staff also serves as assisted living nurses with the old man around, right? Democrats did better than expected, though, partially because of voters. While, you know, no fans of Joe Biden, they opted for stability rather than the ramifications of a GOP majority in Congress. The DOJ's Trump raid, you know, it occurred toward the tail end of the 22 cycle, and many on the left, they probably thought this would be a smoking gun to indict the former president, but it's yet to materialize. Trump being indicted was always a pie-in-the-sky hope for the left, but it's genuinely dead now. Especially now that Biden's got caught. The Washington Post made that very clear when they wrote right here. They said, quote, President Biden facing a special counsel investigation, new revelations of classified documents in his possession after the vice presidency, suddenly confronts a ballooning political problem that threatens and to hamstring his agenda and blunt the momentum he's hoped to seize at the halfway mark of his term. They say the congressional Republicans who just days ago were displaying bitter discord and nearly coming to fisticuffs on the House floor, they're now launching these new investigations and inquiries. Now, guys, this is big for the Washington Compost to put this out. But they go on to write in their article that Attorney General Merrick Garland announced Thursday he was appointing a special counsel to the deepening probe, which could mean interviews, searches of additional Biden properties, and potentially weeks of headlines. This last paragraph is what got me, folks. On the Washington Post, they actually wrote that, quote, more importantly, Biden's possession of classified documents is likely to rob him of the unvarnished ability to criticize the former president, Donald Trump, for his own handling of sensitive material. Even if it's the case and the two presidents' approach to them could have been notably different. The Washington Post, the media is, you know, in some cases, the media is doing their job. They're telling the true story. Timmy says, you got to want it, right? Talking about the hot dog. You know, look, with the media's reaction, it's quite obvious they're pissed, right? Joe Biden has screwed up their latest anti-Trump project and he wrecked it like it was Teddy's car at Chappaquiddick, right? But unlike Donald Trump, who had the authority to declassify whatever he saw fit, following the idea that he followed the proper protocol, Joe Biden didn't possess that ability no more than Donald Trump did. Let's just be honest. People are saying, well, the president can declassify whatever you want, the vice president can't. No. Anyone can declassify a document as long as the original author or someone in their chain of command approves it. But Trump, Trump's a ticky-tack debate about declassification, right? I mean, there were no nuclear secrets that we've heard of that were strewn about that was initially reported. And Biden, you know, he's a question of legality since he wasn't really allowed to take any of those files with him as vice president, let alone have them unprotected in the manner that he did. Same thing, different guy. There is no defense here. But that hadn't stopped the leftist media and politicians from jump-starting a narrative to sow the seeds of doubt, and it's laughable to witness. Guys, pay attention, because if you haven't been seeing or if you haven't been hearing this, I'm going to show you where it came from. So first and foremost, man, the Democrats, they wasted absolutely zero time coming out and defending Biden after these classified documents dating back to the Obama administration 7 years before were found in his home garage and office, saying, well, there's differences. Of course there's differences. There's two different situations, but there's a whole lot of similarities. But the one I wanted to draw your attention to was Hank Johnson. He's a Democrat out of Georgia. He's notorious for being a clown. So he attempted to highlight the big differences, and this is what he says. He said right here, he said, quote, "It's refreshing to see the Department of Justice restored from its politicization during the Trump years. And I applaud Attorney General Garland for acting swiftly in appointing a special counsel to investigate the Biden document discoveries." Does anyone believe that? That the Justice Department is restored from its politicization? It seems like all we've been hearing for the past 2 years is the politicization of this DOJ and the FBI. But Johnson said that based on what we know, there's a big difference between Trump and Biden. He tells us, first, he said that Donald Trump lied about their very existence while his lawyers asserted there was no more documents. Maybe. When Trump finally admitted, he said, quote, that when Trump finally admitted that he knowingly took and possessed the classified documents, he refused numerous requests to return them, even failed to comply with the subpoena. He added that classified documents were actually seized from Trump's own desk. Moreover, there's no documentation supporting any claim of any file that Trump documents were declassified. Now, that last point, he's absolutely right. But he insisted that Donald Trump's handling of classified material is an open and shut case. Well, if it is, shouldn't it also be the same for Joe? He argued that it's too early to reach any conclusions, and I agree with that about the way Biden handled the documents, but, you know, sometimes less is more, but sometimes less creates more. Conspiracy. But he says in an interview with Fox, he said that the Trump document case is open and shut and should proceed without delay to a final and just resolution. He said that there remains much that we don't know about the Biden document discovery. It's too early to reach any conclusions. I am confident, however, that the process has begun to ensure that we get to the truth and that justice will be done. So far, these all sound like great things. But, man, I'm giddy for this because this is beautiful. Just prior to your statement about being too early to reach a conclusion about Biden's handling of documents, he told Fox News that he was suspicious of the timing surrounding the revelation of classified materials. Well, Hank, so are we. But that ain't what Hank meant. He said that the evidence could have been planted. 49 seconds of fun. Check this out.
My response to it all is that alleged classified documents showing up allegedly in the possession of Joseph Biden. There's so much that needs to be investigated and. And that's what I call for, is for everything to be investigated. But I'm suspicious of the timing of it. I'm also aware of the fact that things can be planted on people. Places and things can be planted. Things can be planted in places and then discovered conveniently. That may be what has occurred here. I'm not ruling that out, but I'm open in terms of the investigation needs to be investigated.
Okay. Laura Harlow, you win the internet today. You say, quote, she says in the chat that this guy needs to be in a mental institution. If you don't believe who that is, Frank, I'm glad that you asked. Frank asked in the chat, is this the Guam guy? Yes. Laura says, blah, 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 word spaghetti, blah, 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 word salad, blah, blah. Now, this is why, why this may seem like a big deal to me, because Hank is coming out saying, well, look, we don't know anything, but it could have been, there could be some planning. Why would you do that? Why would you add to that? This is why Hank Johnson should never be taken seriously. Like what he just said. He's had some very, very notable moments on the House floor, but none better than when he raised some eyebrows with a comment that he made about our U.S. territory that's called Guam. It's out in the Pacific. And this line of questioning, it was from the House Armed Services Committee hearing. In a discussion regarding planned military buildup on the Pacific Island, Hank Johnson, the Democrat out of Georgia, the same guy who argued that there might, it could have been planted information. He wants you to take him seriously. The guy the guy who expressed some concerns about the plans that Admiral Robert Willard, the head of the U.S. Pacific Fleet, had as far as putting more troops in Guam, this is the guy who he wants you to take him seriously when he says stuff like this right here, minute 10.
This is a island that at its widest level is, what, 12 miles from shore to shore, and at its smallest level location, it's 7 miles between one shore and the other. Is that correct?
Oh, it's not much of a paint
job. I have the exact dimensions, but to your point, sir, I think Guam is a small island.
Very small island. Yeah, my fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
We don't anticipate that.
Let's hear it again, just to make sure we heard it correctly.
The whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
You know, I don't know what to say.
Uh-oh, retard alert! Retard alert!
I just don't know. I mean, this guy, Hank Johnson, who wants you to believe that these documents could be planted, is the same guy who worries that an island is going to capsize because it gets overpopulated. You know, a simple Google search would have answered that, but he's a joke. That right there is an example of the crazy that we are to expect to trust has our best interest in the mind. Are you kidding me? I mean, not to be outdone in providing a defense and planting the seeds of doubt, here is the voice of the Democratic Party, the chicken heads over at The View. Listen to this one.
The Trump's whole argument in his defense hinges on former presidents have mishandled classified documents, mm-hmm. and as a former president, I have the right to declassify documents. Now, I disagree with both of those,
yeah.
but Joe Biden is building his defense for him. Like, I hate to say it, this is much harder
to argue against Trump. I've never seen a luckier person than Donald Trump. Just as we're this close to getting him,
but you know
somehow these documents appear.
But here's the thing. Biden is wrong to have done this. He was in office
for 40
years.
Let's find out what this is first. Now, again, one of the things that gets me crazy is before we know, it's already been spun a specific way. I don't want to see that. I want to see someone explain to me, A, how it's possible that after all this time, nobody knew this. Because to me, if you're missing classified information, I don't mean to laugh, but in my house, if stuff is missing, I know it's missing.
Does it feel like Oppo research to you? Does it feel like the Republicans are behind it?
It did originally, but I'm sorry. But not now. Because one of the things he's saying is that, you know, some of the locations where the docs may have been shipped in the transition taken and put.
Okay, so I want to break that video down because right out of the chute, man, you heard Joy Behar. You're like, well, these documents just appear suddenly. She's planting that seed that this could have been a planted deal. But one thing that I do want to give credit, Whoopi Goldberg. I cannot believe I'm fixing to agree with Whoopi on anything, but the fact that she brought out that immediate question, like, hey, I don't know what was, you know, how did he have these documents for so long? Why is it just now coming out? Now, her assertion that if I got something missing in my house, I'm going to know it. Like, like the intelligence community, Whoopi, the intelligence community doesn't keep up with every classified document that's out there. Anybody can classify a document. They don't have to run it through any type of system to classify it. Really, all it takes is a stamp on all four sides of the document, front and back. And you're golden as long as it meets the criteria. But again, here we are with the chicken heads over at the View. They want you to know. And all right, I pose this question, and look, this may seem conspiracy theory, but hear me out, because I would love to see the comments on this because this is just an idea. I don't really get off into conspiracies too much, but I'm just wondering, is it possible, ladies and gentlemen, that we're at an influx point here where We truly have a state-controlled media? Is that possible, where we have a state-controlled media? Because if you notice, anytime something bad happens, it seems like every media entity, as long as it's politically advantageous to them, you hear the same talking points. So MSNBC, NBC, CBS, Fox News, or ABC, CBS, PBS, NPR, all the leftist media, anytime something happens, crazy enough, either they're really lazy journalists, you know, copying and pasting bullet points, or they all say the same thing. Is that not weird that everybody said the same talking points? And then if you look on the right side of it, you're looking at Town Hall, you're looking at Red State, you're looking at Fox News, you're looking at all these other right-leaning entities, they have the same talking points as well. It just makes me wonder, is there a possibility that we're seeing this state-run media where they're intentionally putting out the same seeds of doubt because they know that, for the most part, voters are uneducated and they're stupid. Not so much their book learning, but what they know about their politicians. I'm not sure. But I want to hit some of these comments here. Laura Harlow says in the chat, she says, idiot. She spelled it out a little bit. Frank Graybar says, how does an island stay afloat in the ocean? I'm thinking it could be because of all the manatees or the whales that are holding it up. I'm not sure. Maybe it's made out of marshmallows. Frank says it's so heavy that shouldn't it sink? Well, only if you put too many people on it, according to Hank Johnson, Frank. Laura Harlow says, oh, let's wait. Let's figure it out first. Timmy says they're pissed that Santos embellished his education. Apparently, you don't need an education to serve in this government. Tammy, if you've ever, you know, you've seen some of the people that we've encountered that work for our government. Yeah, sometimes they don't really color in the inside the lines. Laura says that isn't that the same effing thing that Trump was saying when Trump? I'm assuming you're talking about when Trump was saying that some documents were planted. Because here's kind of the question in the whole thing. So Joe Biden's lawyers were the ones who turned everything over because they're the ones who did the search. Rightfully so. And right on, I'm glad that they did what they did. However, Donald Trump, his attorneys were not allowed in Mar-a-Lago until after the search, which is where that question came from. Like, well, how do we know that what they took is actually what they took and not something they planned? It was the same thing. And I think I saw Tammy had actually pointed out, or maybe she didn't. There it is. Tammy says right here that, but didn't they shoot down the idea? She's talking about the idea of planting things at Mar-a-Lago. Absolutely, they damn sure did. And that's kind of where the hypocrisy comes in, because with Joe Biden, it's planted, ladies and gentlemen. There's no way the vice president would have had this for 7 years. It had to have been planted. Don't you? Come on, guys. How could he have classified documents beside his Corvette in a box and nobody sees it's there? And what were his lawyers doing just rummaging through his garage? I mean, it does seem suspicious, but when you shoot down the argument that it could have been planted in one case, but not in the other, that right there in itself it's questionable. Tammy says in the chat that she just said it. Quote, when we were this close to getting him. That's right, Tammy, because when Donald Trump mentioned that ever since he announced that he was going to run for president, it's been a balls to the wall agenda to remove Donald Trump. Again, I'm not a Donald Trump supporter, but we have to be honest and call it out equally. You're right. She said we're this close to getting him, and now Joe Biden does this, and that's what I was talking about. The media's kind of turning because they're pissed off at Joe because Joe just took away their bullets. Tammy does, very rightfully so, she says, bitches, in the chat. Laura Harlow, bok, 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 bok. Yep, they're chicken heads, absolutely. She says, I love those vids when they queue up every different newscaster and play them at the same time. I do too, and that's kind of what I was talking about. So is it possible that we have a state-run media? I don't know, ladies and gentlemen, but I am interested to see the developments and which way this is going to go. Guys, we're going to take another two-minute news break followed by a commercial. We'll be right back in about 3 minutes, guys. Stick around as we knock out this next block.
About one type of COVID booster. I'm Lisa Lacera, Fox News. The CDC says there could be an increased risk of stroke in people 65 and older who receive the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID booster.
This is the bivalent booster shot that targets not only the original strain of the SARS-CoV-2 virus, but also the Omicron variant. This one surveillance system noticed that cases of ischemic stroke in people 65 and older who received the booster were slightly slightly above baseline levels. However, other safety monitoring systems, both in this country and abroad, have not flagged a similar concern. And CDC officials say it's possible factors completely unrelated to the vaccine may have triggered the alert from the Vaccine Safety Data Link, or VSD, as they call it.
Fox's Jonathan Sarri in Atlanta. The CDC says the risk has not been found in the Moderna booster, and no change in vaccine practice is recommended. The CDC also coming out with new numbers in respiratory illnesses, saying data suggests holiday gatherings did not spark surges in cases of flu-like illnesses and visits to doctor's offices. They fell for the sixth straight week. It says reports of RSV are also down, and COVID hospitalizations are down. With California expected to get even more rain this weekend, state and local officials are telling people to stay alert.
Don't travel if you don't need to. Watch out for the first responders. Don't go around barriers. Don't go into floodwaters.
Director of the California Office of Emergency Services, Nancy Ward, a series of storms since late December have left at least 19 people dead. About 6,000 people are under evacuation orders, and another 20,000 households are without power in the last 18 days. The state, plagued by drought, has averaged more than 9 inches of rainfall a day. America is listening to Fox News.
Over 40 years in Washington, and what has Joe Biden done for black people?
It doesn't matter whether or not they're the victims of society.
We already have a mayor. We don't need any more big shots.
Joe Biden said the N-word 13 times that day. Doesn't he seem a little too comfortable saying the N-word?
Those people.
You ain't black.
We have predators on our streets.
Catch the violent thugs.
Those people.
Thugs.
Poor kids are just as bright and just as talented as white kids.
For decades, Joe Biden has repeatedly defended racial segregation. He even warned that desegregating schools would force his kids to grow up in a racial jungle.
Away from my mother, your husband, our families.
They're going to put you all back in chains.
We already have a mayor. We don't need any more big shots.
Don't let Joe Biden take us for granted ever again. Join the Free Thinker Project, a movement for free thinkers by free thinkers. Learn more at freethinkerproject.org.
All right, guys, we're back. Thank you so much for joining me. Episode number 316, Media Mashup. Classified Hypocrisy is the show. We're wrapping up our show, guys. Thank you so much for sticking around. 409-245-9753 is the number. Either call or shoot us a text. Or you can use your social media platforms and comment, and we'll put them up there as well. Now, out of what we currently know, I guess the question that we have to look at now, as far as developments continue to come, is the Biden classified document, quote, we'll call it a quote-unquote scandal, you know, what do they call it, document gate or something stupid. Every time something major happens in our country, they just put gate at the end of it. Like, you know, I don't know. Whoever comes up with clever names or scandals, they need to be fired. But if this is a scandal, is it an impeachable offense? Is this going to be what causes Joe to go away? Is this going to be what causes him to resign? What else is going to come out of this? These are my questions. I mean, if history is any indication, I'm thinking nothing is going to happen. But again, I can't help but wonder if this is the beginning of the end of this administration. So what I want to do, friends, I want to wrap up our show by exploring that question specifically. Is this impeachable? And maybe the possible criminality in this last segment of our show, the one final thing. Stick around. All right, kids, so a new chapter of the Biden family corruption has been opened again. When the American people learned that, again, the former Vice President Joe Biden, he illegally took classified information with him after leaving the White House. Let's not get into this case about the whataboutism, because Donald Trump did what he did and he needs to answer for it. This is the question for this current administration. Making matters worse, Joe improperly handled classified information by storing it in an unsecured private Washington, D.C. think tank office. Isn't it funny how Joe Biden has a think tank? I understand it's a political thing, but Joe Biden think tank, it's funny to me. But Joe also allegedly kept a number of documents at his Wilmington, Delaware garage next to his Corvette because it was locked. The timing and the revelation of all of this, it is infuriating for me. White House counsel, they knew about this behavior on November the 2nd, 2022. Just days before the midterms, and they kept it from the American people for months. And as the situation plays out with Merrick Garland appointing a special counsel to criminally investigate Biden, there's a major double standard that's at play here. In August of 22, Donald Trump's personal residence at a Secret Service protected Mar-a-Lago, it was raided. Heavily armed FBI agents went through his office and they overturned First Lady Melania Trump's closet. They also stopped by Barron Trump's room just to make sure there wasn't any classified information in his gym shoes. I don't know. But Joe Biden's unsecured private office, which he used after his stint as vice president, it has not seen any such raid or any other property. But not to mention Donald Trump is, he had declassification power as president as long as he went through the appropriate channels, and by all evidence so far, that hasn't happened. As vice president, Joe Biden, obviously, it appears, didn't go through those same channels either. But given Biden's close business partnerships with his son Hunter, the mishandling of this classified information, it raises a number of red flags for me. On September the 20th of 2017, Hunter Biden, it was released in Hunter's laptop, that he sent an email to the building manager asking for sets of keys to be made for new office mates, Joe Biden, Jill Biden, and Jim Biden, and Guangwen Dong. What a name. Dong was a representative, by the way, for the Chinese energy chairman company, Yi Jianming, right? The building manager, they happily obliged, and they wrote in the response that, quote, "We're very excited and honored to welcome your new colleagues." So the keys were cut to the same private office where this classified information was stored, unsecured, mishandled, and accessible. As Miranda Devine in New York Post pointed out, she said that it means that Biden would have been stashing these classified documents in an office that he shared with the capitalist arm of the Chinese Communist Party's Belt and Road Initiative backed by the CCP intelligence. That means it was accessible not just to Biden family members who didn't have any security clearance, but also to the Chinese government, the suite mates. But much further, a lot of the classified information that was found in the office was reportedly about Ukraine. Now, through 2014, Hunter Biden, he served as the board that is notoriously corrupt in Ukraine gas company Burisma at the rate of $80,000 a month. 80000. Now, over in Delaware, where Biden spends much of his time, there conveniently is not a visitor log available to the American public or the press about who visits him at home. But as for the garage, in 2018, Hunter Biden argued on a background check paperwork that he was the owner of the house, which is why that's an issue. Because that was when he was filing for a gun that he was not legally allowed to have. He said that Joe Biden's house in Delaware was his house. He owned that house. In 2016, he had the engine of that Corvette restored as a Christmas gift. The same Corvette that was kept in the garage right next to the classified information. In other words, while Hunter Biden was selling influence as a business partner to his father, Hunter Biden had access to classified information. He wasn't qualified to have that access. But further, Joe Biden's mishandling of the classified information at his office, it gave a Chinese official access as well. But since Joe was a vice president, Hunter, he's raked in millions of dollars from corrupt Ukraine business and the CCP, their energy companies over in Beijing. On all behalf of himself and the Biden family, President Biden still insists that he has never, not one time ever, spoken to his son about his business. That is and has always been a lie. And the fact that Hunter had access to this classified information, it makes this situation so much worse. Lying to the American people about a business partnership with your son, one that involved getting rich by making shady deals with foreign adversaries and enemies of the United States, that's bad enough. It's also deeply corrupt. But using classified information and selling out the country to do so, that is a crime. Some would say that raises to the level of high crimes and a misdemeanor, which is an impeachable defense. Others are going to call it treason. But you can bet if articles of impeachment are presented to Joe Biden, just like it happened when the Democrats presented it from the House to the Senate, there's no way in hell they are going to vote to impeach Joe Biden unless there's a political justification. Because you got to remember now, if that happens, if Joe Biden resigns or is impeached, or if he gets kicked out, if he leaves office, that leaves Kamala Harris as your commander in chief, and that leaves Mike McCarthy as your vice president, which is the role of the Speaker of the House. Can you imagine that administration? Can you imagine the train wreck? I don't really believe there's any way in hell that Joe Biden is going to be impeached. And I'm even going to probably speculate that I'm having a hard time seeing how Joe Biden will even walk away knowing who's on deck. Do you recall when George Herbert Walker Bush, remember when he got put in the hospital and it was a heart surgery or something. And my God, everybody was panicking because Dan Quayle, the guy who couldn't spell potato, or was that Al Gore? I think Al Gore invented the internet or something. Yeah, Al Gore invented the internet. I think it was Dan Quayle couldn't spell potato. Everybody was panicking because that was who's going to be in charge if George H.W. Bush died. So I'm interested to see if this is going to be one of those revelations where Joe Biden does actually leave. I seriously doubt it, but politics is funny. No one can ever really say what they're going to do in politics because the agenda is never on the front of the table. There's always these backroom deals, these handshake deals in the middle of the night. This government is not being honest. They're not being responsible, and they never will. Laura Harlow says, my head is going to explode. Woman, as I research these shows, I understand. And you will have a Mental Health Monday, Lord willing the creeks don't rise, this coming Monday. Nuggets, I hope. I got a great guest coming up. It's going to be a show you're not going to miss. Tammy says, it sounds stinky to me. Absolutely, it does. It stinks to high hell. And to call it anything other than what it is, which is bullshit, means that you are either a election denier or you're a Trumpy. You know, isn't it funny how you cannot criticize the Democratic Party without them putting some type of label over you? You couldn't criticize Barack Obama without being a racist. You couldn't criticize Joe Biden without being an ageist. But Donald Trump, every day of the week and twice on Sundays, get after this. This hypocrisy is driving me crazy, as it is you. And because we're going crazy, let's not, let's not get caught up in watching the news this weekend. Get off the internet. Get off the computer. Get off social media. Take care of your mental health. Spend time with your family that matters most, because that is where, it seems like we truly don't know what day is our last day, so we need to make the most of them. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for me. Thank you all so much for joining my show. Let me entertain you this Friday. To thank you for giving me this opportunity. Thank you for giving me this voice to not only try to provide a middle ground analysis, but I want to remain consistent to an inconvenient truth that so many people refuse to see. Both sides are lying to you, and don't believe the hype. Pay attention to what's happening. Look, I promise you, you're going to, once you open your eyes, because I've made the argument that those people who say that they're woke have their eyes closed the tightest. It's amazing. Once you start paying attention to what the other side is doing, you'll lose your mind. So until next time, friends, thank you so much for your service. Thank you so much for your patriotism to this country. Without our men and women in uniform, our veteran community, and great Americans like you, man, this country would be a very different place. They're trying to change it. Our country's waking up. The media seems like, in some instances, they're waking up. They're calling it. But I question if they're calling it because they have an agenda. Without our men and women in uniform, our veteran community, and great Americans like yourself, man, this country would be a different place. Stay true to who you are. Don't let somebody cause you to sell your morals, and, you know, don't let somebody browbeat you into thinking that you are something that you're not. As always, friends, this weekend, don't let your dog tags dangle in the dirt. Stay on your feet. Continue to fight that good fight against everything that's wrong. If you love your freedom, you think a veteran. If you love your peace, think a police officer. If you see a first responder, give them a high five handshake. Tell them job well done. Guys, have a safe and happy Martin Luther King weekend. I think if I'm not mistaken, Martin Luther King Jr. is on Monday, where we will be doing our show. But so if you are getting out and you're having fun, make sure that you are doing the right thing. Don't drink and drive. Hang out with your family. Call an Uber. But whatever you do, don't get behind the wheel. Don't pull a Paul Pelosi and run a red light and have nothing happen to you, right? Guys, take care of yourselves. Catch me every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 5 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time right here. Thank you so much again, friends. My name is Philip Blackman. Y'all take care of yourselves, friends. I'll see you on the next trip. I'm out.